This program is brought to you by Podcast One Sports.
Ride with the mob, alhamdulillah. Check in with me and do your job. Erg is the name, Bimbola did the chain. Torn off for the watch, Prezi plain Jane. Yamagini chain, rest in peace to my superior. Hermes link a feed a village in Liberia. TMZ taking pictures causing my hysteria. Mama see me on BT and start tearing up. I'ma start killing niggas, how you get that tripe? I attended hall of picnics where you risk your life. Uncle used to skim work,
new
selling
song,
nicks
Nathan.
At night. I was only 8 years
big
old,
deal.
Watching Nick at night. Uncle Psycho was
ASAP Ferg. And why is it ASAP Ferg? I just gotta listen to it. It's a good tune.
It's really good.
Alhamdulillah. Check in with me and do your job. The Second Floor was playing this last week. It's the beginning of their sort of
2 weeks of
Probably more.
Yeah, easily.
There's a new group downstairs that moved in on the second floor. They are cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But evidently they love to party. Party. And you're here late at night sometimes. And we've said this before. You've heard some stuff.
The radio, whatever they do,
they're playing ASAP Ferg.
They have some Pandora station that they just play, that just plays
during the day.
During the day, but then in the evenings, they fucking turn up, and pretty sure Bone Down.
Bone, as my father-in-law and mother-in-law. Oh, sorry, my father-in-law would say, not my mother-in-law. When they were teenagers, he said they'd call it kissy face, pressy body.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh. That soundtrack they play during the day on the second floor. 3-2-1 okay, let me get it. I guarantee we'll say the same singer. On the count of three.
Okay.
What's the most commonly played singer? You got it in your head?
I got it.
3-2-1 Michael Bublé.
It's close.
All right,
it's
I got close. Number two. I got number two.
All right.
You get another one?
Yeah.
3-2-1 Maroon 5.
Just like I'm doing the same thing. It's the easy, like, it's always Jason Mraz. No one else.
All right, get one more.
All right.
Don't say Jason Mraz.
Okay.
All right.
Wait. Yeah, I got it. I got
ready?
It.
Ready? 3-2
I can't.
You can do it.
Wait.
3-2-1 Adele. You didn't say anything.
Sorry.
You panicked.
I would have said Chase Raskin. That's all I want to say. It's easily him every time.
What's his song?
I don't know. It's always the same song.
Uncle Psycho's in the... No, that's not it. Kissy face, pressy body. I'm so dead when I go back to Canada. He's going to be laughing his ass off. He'll bring it up at like the Thanksgiving table.
The Thanksgiving table.
So the RSM classic, not a classic, was last week. And no disrespect to any of the golfers who played in it or the tournament itself, but it's my least favorite tournament of the year. It's the last of the fall swing. It's really the last of the year. And no one gives a shit. It's a giant party on St. Simon's Island in Georgia. There were four first-time winners this fall. This last tournament with the RSM, a new one with Austin Cook. I didn't see that coming. Have you ever heard of Austin Cook?
No.
No. He played great. Hit fairways. Some fortunate bounces. Some fortunate putts. Kip Henley was his caddy and kept him steady all week. I thought he would sort of bail out on Sunday like every other tournament that the leaders had going into the final day last year. Not this year. But he played remarkably well, and he won. And I am done with the RSM. Done with it. I mean, because people are just having fun on the island, bro.
Why wouldn't you?
I know!
I mean, you can't blame it.
Like, I don't want to... It's like, what? Yeah. It's $500,000 to these guys means nothing anymore. So, there you go. Kind of different to open with ASAP Ferg. Not really my... not really... I'm more of a... We're more of Wu-Tang, right?
Yeah.
Hang on. I'm drinking some Perrier.
You just have to finish that up.
How much sparkling water do I drink a day?
A lot.
Oh, it's aggressive. What are you drinking over there?
The worst sparkling water.
That's gross.
This Dasani is a disaster. You got the fruit punch flavor or something. What is this thing?
Pour it in a glass with ice.
No.
It's cloudy and has soap in it. Yeah. Sorry, Dasani. You blew it on that one. How many Wu-Tang Clan members can we name? We're gonna test this. By the way, this episode, easily 2% golf.
Yeah, well...
There's no golf.
Yeah, there's nothing.
So, oh, also, before I forget, @GailWalden6 is my new favorite follow on Twitter. I don't know if it's a real grandma or not.
It's brilliant. I don't know what it is. It's the best troll.
I don't know if it's real or not, but this Gail Walden 6, her bio is, I love my grandkids, divorced, knitting and gardening, I love wine. Tweets like this, Gail Walden 6, I've not been on an airplane since 7-Eleven. Somebody smells like a cantaloupe. No one's allowed in my house anymore. If I got paid for being a hashtag grandmother, I would do it every day. God, this is classic. How many members of the Wu-Tang Clan can we name? Let me give you the count. There are 10.
Is it 10?
I think it's 10. In my head, I think there are 10.
Let's go with the easy. RZA.
RZA and GZA.
GZA.
GZA?
Method Man. GZA.
Method Man, Raekwon, that's 4.
Ghostface, R.I.P. Old Dirty Bastard. What else do we have?
Ghostface, Old Dirty Bastard, that's 6. Oh. Capadonna.
Yeah.
Missing three.
You got?
That's 8.
You got the rest, buddy.
I'm done.
It's not bad. What are we missing? Do you have any?
Hang on. I had the list here earlier. Inspected Deck, Master Killer. Killer, okay. Excuse me. That was pretty white.
Killer.
Master Killer.
ASAP.
ASAP Rocky. He's part of the ASAP mob. Cuckoo! Here's the funny thing about this, man. Is that we can name 80% of the Wu-Tang Clan. But this is the first, this is my first Thanksgiving in the United States this year. As a citizen, I've been here for 17 years. This is my first Thanksgiving as a citizen. We talked about this week. Can either of us explain Thanksgiving?
Explain how? Like what you do or what it is? Because I don't, the ladder is pretty rough.
Like explain what it is.
There's no way. We could try.
It seems like we should be able to.
Maybe.
But we can't.
Yeah. Maybe.
What is it about that, like, naming random members of a rap group in the 90s and not being able to explain what Thanksgiving is, the historical relevance of it?
Probably wanting to seem... or feel cool. Like nobody's gonna be like, wow, you know what Thanksgiving's all about, you know every bit of that history, that's interesting.
Shouldn't we know it though?
You should.
By the way, is the Leafs game over? Scores!
Skirt!
We're getting Nathan into hockey. It was the Coyotes at the Leafs. Coyotes are going to come up later in this conversation.
Wait,
by the way,
Coyotes.
What?
Coyotes.
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 What? How do I say it wrong?
Apparently, Canadians. Okay, this is what I'm trying to figure
You're
out.
You're going
to
piss Canadians off.
I know. I just want to know.
Okay. What?
Coyotes?
It's not Coyotes.
Is that what people say? Coyotes?
No.
Okay, so it's Coyote, or how do you say it?
If I were to, it would be the Phoenix Coyotes or Arizona Coyotes as they are now.
Would you do the E's at the end or Coyotes?
I would Coyotes, like a normal human being from this planet. All right.
Just making sure.
What do you say?
I think I say Coyotes.
Yeah, you do, because that's how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Skirt. Who won? I don't even know.
I don't know. That atrocious.
He saw Austin Matthews score. Skirt.
He did.
So here's what our challenge was this week, and we decided not to look at Google at all, not research it at all, and I committed to that, and see if we can go back in time. And together explain history.
Work
this is the segment
it.
Called Explaining History.
Right, easy.
Today's topic, appropriately, is Thanksgiving. So I think we should go back in time, right?
Mm.
Speaking of Marty?
Martin?
My favorite movie of all time. I couldn't even name Michael J. Fox's character. Marty? Yeah, let's go back in time. You ready?
Let's do it.
All right.
Take us back.
Did they have a lute back then?
What is it?
I attribute all history to gangs in New York.
Yes. Okay. This is
all right, here we go. We're going to keep that playing. All right. So Thanksgiving was probably around the year what? 1600s?
14.
Late 14s?
Late 14s.
All right. Late 14s. And back then, there were two parties.
Of people?
Yes.
Okay. One being?
The Pilgrims.
It can't be the Native Americans. That just seems too easy.
Well, the people with the buckle hats.
Buckle hat guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good section of people. I just thought that it's not just what brunch came from.
No.
It's more than that.
But picture it back then. Like, okay, so what is Thanksgiving?
Yeah. A brunch. An elaborate brunch.
But between who? The Pilgrims and the Native Americans.
I know it was a very diverse group.
Was there a boat involved?
The boat brought them that day to the brunch. They showed up that day. They made it to the table from the boat.
Where they came from? England.
Well, technically Spain, right? They came from Spain. Just for the brunch.
That day?
Yeah, it was an elaborate brunch. It's an elaborate brunch. That's what Thanksgiving is. It's thanking people for
Native Americans.
You're thanking them for coming all the way here by providing food for them when they get here. It's obviously that.
How did they know?
Oh, well, there were carrier pigeons. You know that. I mean, obviously.
All right, be serious.
Okay.
All right, so there was a boat involved.
Boats happened.
And the
boats were a bit...
1490s.
Maybe.
Spanish Late, pilgrims yeah. came.
Spanish, yeah. It was, of course, Spanish pilgrims.
For brunch. With the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Because of the carrier pigeons.
Yes, because...
Because they got word of the brunch.
Yeah, they got, you know, so the Spanish buckle hats, they gave word that they were traveling to meet the Native Americans.
All right. At the feast, what were they eating?
Obviously casserole, right? They were eating casserole.
Who made casserole
I don't know.
In 1490?
I was there. I don't have photo records of what happened. There were no photo records. If there's one thing I know, there were no photo records. But someone had a...
Did they eat turkey and stuffing?
No, it's a Spanish cuisine for the Spaniards coming there. So they had paella. And another very nice Spanish
dishes. All right, so to recap. 1492 to the soundtrack from Gangs of New York.
Mm-hmm.
The Spanish pilgrims, by way of carrier pigeon, heard of a brunch feast.
They were told.
Of casserole.
Yeah.
So they brought paella.
No, they gave the recipe.
Far across the sea.
It was made for them.
What were they giving thanks for? This is the end of the questioning.
Oh, they were thanking them for making such a long journey, obviously. Thank you for coming and experiencing our land. Now, what comes after that is a whole mess. But
so they knew they would come.
It was an innocent,
because it was Thanksgiving in advance.
Yes, it's an innocent, elaborate brunch that ended up terribly for.
Is that seriously all we know about Thanksgiving?
That's it. That's all I got.
I'm sorry, America.
At least we know.
My citizenship test did not include that line of questioning.
If it had,
I would not be a citizen of the United States. Oh, man. So I am spending Thanksgiving in Canada. I flew back here for a couple of days for work. And so it's kind of ironic I'm spending in Canada, the first American Thanksgiving as a citizen. It's kind of lame, right?
It's not if you don't know anything about Thanksgiving, maybe.
I'm going to tell this story far and wide.
Yeah, yeah. New tradition.
Starbucks is not as popular in Canada. In Canada as it is in the United States. I stopped there on my way to the airport. No line. 7 a.m. and cheaper than it is here. And that's in Canadian dollars, which in Canadian, as you know, everything is more expensive.
Yeah.
The most popular place in Canada is what?
Tim Hortons. Easy.
Easy. Cultural interest in it. It's a phenomenon.
It's ridiculous.
Every corner.
It is more... I mean, the only place that really is comparable is, like, again, Starbucks. And the amount of people that swarm a Tim Hortons... Because they have everything. I didn't realize that they had everything. You can get breakfast, lunch, dinner all at the same time at a Tim Hortons.
Everything. Yeah. It's comfort food. But like, and it's not that it's better. I mean, Tim Hortons Dark Roast is pretty good.
Oh, their coffee's good, yeah.
But we're addicted to Starbucks.
Yeah, I am.
I am. As soon as that venti dark hit me this morning. Oh, yeah. So I got to the airport. And I hadn't told anyone the story yet. And I just wrote it down because I remembered. But I got I didn't get through it. Through the security line. And they stopped me. They stopped my bag.
Right.
And there was a large level of concern by the U.S. Customs agent. It was... Because I never carried liquid, so I knew it wasn't that. And they kept saying, go check the pockets. Check the pockets. And there was nothing in the pockets that I was aware of. And they pull out some scissors, first of all. I sort of knew those were there. I said, fine, scissors. They're like, no, that's not it. And they're like, sir, do you understand it's offense to bring drugs over the border? And so my eyes went wide and like, I don't know.
Can I ask why you had scissors in your pocket, by what? The way? Just as... Why do you have scissors in your pocket?
I don't know. General grooming?
Okay.
Are you not a man?
Should I have like...
Are you not a Renaissance man?
I guess not, man. I don't know. Was that for your beard kit?
Yeah, it's for my beard kit.
Your beard oils? Okay.
I read a lot of Da Vinci on the plane, not lying.
Really?
Because I wanted to read about true Renaissance men.
Mm-hmm.
Da Vinci may be the most amazing human being to ever walk the earth.
I mean, let's
see. And you know who carried scissors in his travel bag? Da Vinci.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
So they stop me and they say, you know, it's offensive to bring drugs over the border. And I said, I don't do drugs. They say, well, we've spotted some packages in your bag. I thought, okay.
Your supplements?
My supplements?
Is it your
supplements? Oh, no, my Live Forever supplements?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It wasn't those.
It wasn't?
But I am going to live forever.
Yeah, you now...
Thanks to NAD Plus.
NAD Plus. You're fully NAD Plus.
I'm dead serious. I'm going to live forever. And if you're... You can make fun of it all you want.
Elysium
Health,
yeah.
Base. I get him. I take two a day. It's NAD Plus. Because my all I needed to know was a YouTube video with some cat on a whiteboard with a chart that he drew in dry erase with my levels of NAD from birth going down to where I am now at 40.
And then
by 50%, I thought I need more of that. I need more of what I had at birth than I do now.
It's a chart that. It's basically the timeline, and it slowly goes down, and then he says, now you start taking this, and then it goes back up. That's all it is. You immediately went and bought it. But you know what? I do believe...
Bought it? I bought, like, a 17-year subscription to it, and I just started plying it in my mouth. And if you don't believe me, you're part of the conspiracy.
That's true, yeah.
You are part of the group that wants to keep me unhealthy. Oh, your dad's a doctor. Shocker.
Shock.
Where does his money come from? Me being sick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not anymore, pal. I am taking over-the-counter supplement.
You've fallen pretty deep for the American healthcare system now. That's pretty cool. You're just...
Falling. I feel more energy. My cells are dividing better. My electrons are connecting and metabolizing.
Yeah, I mean, the placebo
my mitochondria,
is really
hitting you. Whatever that is.
Is hitting you hard right now.
What's that?
The placebo is hitting you pretty damn hard right now. But hey,
someone told me you get as much in like 3 blueberries as you do in a whole jar.
An AD plus?
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay.
Anyway.
So where are the drugs?
All right. So we go back to the drugs, and they're like, they pull out these packages, and they start rattling them around from my bag.
What?
No. Before they did that. They said, we spotted some packages in your bag. And I'm like, I have no idea what it is. So they're fishing around and they pulled them out. And I'm like, those are hand warmers. They were in my gloves.
Oh my God. Why did you bring hand warmers?
But everyone around me was just like, oh.
It's that guy.
That guy.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Take him down.
Yeah.
Take him down.
Take him to prison for his hand
warmers. It's hand warmers. I was at the Lakefield Santa Claus parade, and my hands were cold. So they were stuck in my gloves, but they thought it was heroin. So I had scissors and heroin. Needless to say, I was delayed from my flight.
It's a pretty good way if you're going to try to obviously transport drugs.
As hand warmers? I thought about it. Just take the stuff out of the hand warmers.
Yeah, just throw it in
inject
there.
It in.
It's just hand warmers.
Man, we got a business coming.
There we go.
Hang on. That sweet sound of Perrier. All right, speaking of a Canadian pastime other than Tim Hortons, hockey is one. We just watched the Coyotes, as we were talking about, play the Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know the score. Scores. Austin Matthews is from Arizona. Grew up a huge Coyotes fan. The reason why he's a hockey player is because of the Arizona Coyotes. Phoenix Coyotes back then. And saw on Twitter today, I believe Saul Goodman tweeted this. The Arizona Coyotes at Arizona Coyotes team bio is, get this, if you're looking for someone who cares about your fantasy lineup, you've come to the wrong place.
Wow.
GIFs, game updates, and good times. Not Phoenix. Cool.
What a statement.
Why would they fence off a potentially lucrative marketplace of interested eyeballs in their team just for what? To be social media relevant in their mind?
Yeah, they think it's a good dig. It's not. It's not.
The last franchise on earth to be walling off potential customers are the Phoenix Coyotes.
Yeah, Arizona.
Quite literally, last. Really? I wonder if their ownership knows that.
I know their logo is obvious.
Don't come here for fantasy lineups. We're cool. You're not.
You're really not.
You're not. You're the Coyotes, bruh.
Obviously, as I'm pretty new to kind of falling hockey a little bit here, is it that the people that play daily fantasy for hockey are worse than your typical...
I don't see it. It's not a...
I've not heard much about that.
It's not gigantic. It's right. NFL is large. Golf is large. Hockey, there are a lot of... There is sort of a niche interest, but I don't see harassment of players as I do in other leagues, certainly.
Right.
I just think the team, the social media manager,
right,
wanted to jump on board, and look how hip the Coyotes are.
Here's my hot take. Screw fantasy.
Yeah.
Nice.
You get that? Really, you guys want to be fans? No, we don't. That's half your audience watching your team. That's why we know about, you know, OEM. He's a defenseman. Sorry, OEL. But in that vein, I need to show you this too. I was watching, I'll tell you who sent this to me. It was BP Snow 11 on Twitter. Big Bucks No Whammies. A lot of people know him. He DM'd me this morning with a TED video.
TED Talk?
TED Talk. Yeah, The Wheel of Modern Education by Gautam Kedarpal. He's an Indian former engineering student. And by the way, someone... I've got a consistent troll on Twitter. He likes just digging me a lot. He said, if you listen to Wiley at 1.5 speed on podcasts, he actually sounds like a normal person.
Wait, I gotta try that.
Yeah. I like to talk slowly so they can enunciate and speak clearly. People who speak so quickly on a podcast, it drives me mental.
Yeah, they're just kind
most
of like
people
going around
fall that. Asleep to this, whether by choice or not. But that's how I talk.
Until you play loop music from Games in New York.
God, I'm still crying over that. But he said the future... Let me preface this. I have said, and we've said in this office, that I think the future of marketing is probably going to be less reliant on vanity and social media, which I would say primarily is the narrative for Facebook and Instagram. I mean, if you look at any post that anyone does, it's vanity. It's what am I doing now? What do I want people to think I'm doing or who I am? Mm-hmm. What do I want them to see? Or if someone reacts on Twitter like my troll, it's for attention. And I think there's some fatigue in that. Do you find? I mean, I don't have a Facebook account. I have a Facebook account only for managing pages. Mm-hmm. But I post zero content.
Yeah.
I don't... What is... If you really boil it down, why are you posting anything? Why? I mean, I'm doing it for Twitter because, and this is, gets to this topic, because of a niche community, and I have a following, and it's an, a topic of interest to me.
Right.
It's do you feel the same way?
I absolutely agree. It's
I just, think there's the death of vanity.
It's a self-improvement thing, and I think that once people are a little more self-aware of that, I can see that becoming the case. But at the same time, there's always going to be kind of the meta of that, where it's self-realization.
Meta. You said two words here the last 2 weeks that I've thought about. Trope and meta. Explain both.
Explain trope and meta?
Yep.
A trope of a popular television show? What did I say? Was it for a movie?
I don't know. Yeah, something like it was for...
It was for Stranger Things.
Yes.
A trope would just be something that is prevalent throughout multiple different television shows that people kind of use over and over again.
Roger that.
The meta would be just kind of like a groupthink, like the way that people use social media evolves. And the way that it evolves is the meta of that.
Okay. I got
That's
it.
The best I can do. I don't know.
Okay. So do you feel like shorter term even, there is going to be a death of that vanity?
I think the death of the vanity is already coming, and I think it slowly is going to morph what Twitter is. I think Twitter is... I mean, if you look back 3 years ago at what your general tweet from even a celebrity is, it's way different than it is now.
Right.
The way that people communicate is way different than it is now.
Right. And Twitter is news to me.
Right. It's what becomes popular and the way that communication is sent to people. And I think that obviously the increase in amount of characters changes that even. And we're seeing like a very different kind of style emerging from it. This is kind of like getting way too into it because, you know, how do you really define something that just is so brand new? But I do think it's slowly changing. And I think that you're right in terms of the death of vanity being a huge influence on that.
I think anonymity is the future. I think Twitter needs to be better organized. But Twitter is the personification of finding your niche interest. Organizing the following that you want to hear from. And, you know, in order for you to be followed, you probably have to be saying something interesting or of value. And if you're not, you will be unfollowed. And really, you know, there is a lot of... If you unfollow in your friend network, there's a lot of fallout.
Yeah.
Whereas in Twitter, it's more a race to be interesting.
Yeah, and I do think that there's less vanity in Twitter than there is Instagram or Facebook.
There is now. Can you find anything else to be funny about on Twitter? I mean, except for what is it, Gail Warden 6?
That's what I mean.
Which is the funniest Twitter account on the planet?
Really great trolls on Twitter. There's no doubt, and I think that's part of the anonymity that you're talking about. You know, I think there's not much anonymity left in Instagram or Facebook, but Twitter still has that to an extent, and it has a lot of trolls because of it.
Well, I think this generation, you don't have kids, but I think this generation of children, you know, the 2000s children, where parents are constantly broadcasting every living minute of their children. we just talked, as you know, my wife and I, and forecasted forward. It's not really our right to broadcast their lives to the world. Mm-hmm. And long term, there could be a lot of resentment, I think, by kids saying, "Why are why is this out there?
Yeah, why did you think posting me getting slightly hurt was funny this time?
Or me in a diaper? Because it's Google indexable if you look it up.
Oh yeah, it's never going away. And the things that even slightly scar a child as a kid. And I'm not talking about very very serious things, but I'm talking about more.
And it's done in good faith,
right?
But it needs to be thought about.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot more. Which is, I'm glad for my children that they're going to want more privacy long term. They're going to live in a more female empowered environment, first of all, and in a more anonymous environment, thankfully. I was able to duck it in college. There was no social media. Thank God.
being able to look back.
Speaking
at
of, you know, guy playing lute underneath a tree to try to impress chicks. God. So this TED Talk, basically, he is he's from India. He came here to MIT, I believe it was MIT, for engineering. Mm-hmm. That was his dream. Immediately, he learned that the mechanism of American education or post-secondary education was not for him. Too regimented, too standardized, too much of a sausage mill. Mm-hmm. And to sort of summarize what he thought was that the American post-secondary education system, at least from that engineering perspective, was built for the industrial age. You know, the manufacturing, turn of the century. This is the skill set you'll need to have a career. Mm-hmm. Whereas humans today are so much diverse in their scope of knowledge. And that's what I talk about millennials a lot. Millennials have a wide array of knowledge.
Yeah, broad interests. Yeah.
Broad interests. You know, mostly from what they learn on podcasts, not this podcast. Hey, Mom, let's go learn about Thanksgiving. It was about the Spaniards. But he said that, and this is sort of ethereal a little bit. He said, find your tribe. Now, I mean, I can't find my tribe. If I found my tribe anymore, I wouldn't have a family. Hey, I'm just going to go to France for 3 years and find my tribe. No, but when you're younger, what his point was that you can find people now with interests of yours and connect socially to that group of people. Mm-hmm. And enhance your sort of your knowledge vistas based on people with similar interests.
Right. And use the tools that you have to easily do that. I mean, it was a lot harder when you were, you know, many years ago when you didn't have things like internet communities.
Yeah.
To be able to gather a group like that.
At all. And plus, like he said, you can go to edx.org and take MIT classes for free.
Yeah. Is that Khan Academy or is that...
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, there's a bunch, yeah.
But basically, you can educate yourself with, you know, $250,000 educations for free online, which people are doing.
You have to put the time in.
Learn to program. Mm-hmm. Learn to design in CAD. Whether you need it or not, just expand your worldview. Mm-hmm. Much like Da Vinci. Couple you back to Renaissance man.
Yeah.
Sculptor. One of the best painters in history. Engineer. Scientist. Physician. Just a wide variety of interests. Mm-hmm. And so I found that interesting. And so I think the future is, if it's not going to be sort of just imagery and vanity and what am I doing now? And who do I want to present myself to be? If people are getting smarter, what is it? Transparency and authenticity. Those two things. Talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I saw a tweet from John Rahm. He won this week in Dubai again. He's won 3 times as a rookie. He's finished top 10 out of 41 events. I think he's finished top 10 23 times. 3 firsts, 3 seconds, 3 thirds, 23 top 10s, or something absurd like that.
How old is he?
John Rahm?
Yeah.
Early 20s, younger than you. What are you doing today?
Talking about Spaniards.
he's Spanish, ironically.
Yeah, there you go.
But he had this tweet, and he goes, this is 9:39 on Sunday night. Equipment in golf is so important. That's why I'm with TaylorMade. My hashtag SpiderRed and hashtag TP5X have been tremendous assets for me.
Oh, no.
When will you make the switch to at TaylorMade Golf?
Oh, man.
Ugh. Not his fault, but someone at 9:25 sent the dossier to him via email and said, could you tweet this out during either halftime of the Sunday night game or a pause and say these words?
What a disaster. That's so...
And I just put dot, dot, dot. And it was just the sentiment that, why not just say, let him say it in his own words? Because those that equipment is awesome, as yeah. people followed up. Obviously it is. And he could have just said, hey, I've won a lot on tour. I love my shit.
Yeah.
I quite literally am in love with my TP5X ball.
Just let him say it.
Yeah, I love it. Say it every week. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Here's a picture of it. I sleep with it. Versus a contrived statement that makes it look totally inauthentic and generated. Don't do that. Ugh. Some guy from North Vancouver goes, he literally gets paid to say that. Yeah, I know. That's the point. Thanks, man. And the transparency thing, there is a... It's got to be in hour number 40 now. There's a guy called Samson DFS of Truth. Samson DFS Truth on Twitter. And basically, he aggregates information about the results of some of the bigger touts. The guys who... make picks for people mm-hmm. and then charge subscriptions and who claim to win a lot of money. He'll aggregate the information, the actual real-time results of whether or not they did. And some of the results are pretty alarming because there are people who lose a lot of money who you don't expect. And so there's a huge debate going on now between those touts and him saying, you know, you're really... you're not showing sort of the entire scope of the data. You're picking your spots. You have a vendetta against some former, you know, tout or group or online site. And you're sort of massaging the data to make it look bad. But it's very interesting because it holds people accountable. So long as all of the data is there to make the best picture possible. I have no problem with transparency. And who cares? I mean, people are savvy enough to say, listen, I pay a subscription to this guy and he loses every week. They'll probably stop paying.
Yeah. Yeah. There needs to be some kind of verification there.
Yeah. But this debate's been going on, I mean, gosh, it's for a day now. Him versus some of the touts.
Right.
And so I have I have no dog in that fight. I know most of the parties involved. I think it's just really interesting. But transparency, authenticity, that's the future. No more vanity. You got to have... And that's why this podcast, 18 episodes as of last week. Mm-hmm. I think podcasting is the most genuine way to connect with an audience, especially... if it starts hitting. People have taken the time to download it, to listen to you on their own time. They can close their eyes or open their eyes and they can visualize their own message. And that's sometimes, you know, with visual mediums, you don't necessarily want to watch. It's very overstimulating sometimes.
It's thrown at you.
Yeah.
This is more, I mean, we're having a dialogue, but then after you have an open dialogue with your community.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's part of it. Because it's not fans. It's a group pleasant. Of people that all enjoy the same thing.
Yes. And I appreciate what this, and I didn't have it queued up. Or maybe I did. Here, let me have it in my files here. What was his name? Hang on, Nathan. It was T.W. T.S. Weist. T.S.W.E.I.S.T. And he said, congrats on the first full round of 18 episodes at Wiley77. You basically stepped on the first tee and asked what the course record was. Cheers. And I thought that I was really... pleased by that.
Yeah, it's well said.
Well said. And, you know, I don't take compliments well. And I genuinely appreciate that. And I genuinely appreciate everyone who listens. It's because of them.
Yeah.
they take the time to listen. They're very appreciative and they're kind. And, you know, I try to put out the best format and writing every week.
And they do a lot to help promote you. I mean,
they do a ton to help promote it.
Yeah.
It's got to be word of mouth at this point.
100%.
I don't have a tenth of the followers that listen to this. So anyway, so this week is the UBS Hong Kong. The amount of information I'm going to have this week is limited. There is no PGA tournament until next week, and it's the Hero World Open with the return of Tiger Woods. Small field, but very high-ranked field next week. So that should be interesting, particularly with the return of Tiger Woods. But this is the UBS Hong Kong Open. And this comes on the heels of the race to Dubai, which someone said, how long was the race? I don't know, about 18,000 miles, it seemed. It's a lot of golf in multiple countries. I mean, these cats must be tired. And that's something to factor this week. You know, historically, if you look at the tournament winners, it hasn't all been chalk. Yes, you had Dustin Rose in 2015. But 2016 was Sam Brazel. Not a household name. 2014, Scott Hend. 13 and 12 back-to-back was Jimenez. And he's won it four times. So there is a chance to catch some of these, you know, chalkier favorites who just want to get a rest. Catch them napping. Maybe literally. So if you look at the field, let me pull up my spreadsheet. I restarted my computer and now it's gone. But here it is. You can largely eliminate, out of the 130 plus in the field, you could probably eliminate 75% of them. Let me give you the guys that I think could possibly win. And it's a big list. Not a big list, but it's a list I'm going to whittle down from this. Rose, Garcia, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Cabrera Bayo, Afabarnrat, Fratelli, Liao Tong, Suri, Dunn, Donaldson, Lipsky, Green, Rye, Bjork, Fraser, Peterson, Jaidi, Sorde, Eric Van Rooyen, O'Brien, Kay, Jimenez, Tebuena, SSP, and Scott Hand. Oh, and eBay Kruger. Yeah, it's a long list. Let me whittle it down from that list. I think that crew is the only credible group to win, to possibly win. But if you look at that group, Justin Rose played three of the last 4 weeks. He won twice. He's playing in the Hero World next, not this week, but the following week. The guy's spent. I don't see him winning this. I see him reading some putts poorly, read in quotes, and getting a nap after the cut. Barof had a good tweet earlier that showed one of his sponsors is there. So that would be somewhat of a, you know, incentive for him to be on the turf in Hong Kong. Garcia. He's only played once in the last 4 weeks. I would consider Garcia someone who possibly can win. Fitzpatrick, tired. Fleetwood, tired. Afabarnrat, tired. Fratelli, tired. Dunn, tired. I don't think Donaldson, Lipsky, or Green are going to be winners in this field. Fraser, same thing, even though he has a performance here and a track record. Jaidi, you know, he's 53 now. He's got a track record here. I don't see him winning. Sorde, he's had a pretty good run recently. Van Rooyen, not a bad player, South African. Don't see them winning. Jimenez, you know, he won twice, actually four times, 53 years old. His last 3 years have been miscut, miscut, 54th. So in terms of that initial group, I'm going to write off Rose, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood, Affabarnrat, Fratelli, and Dunn as the big dogs. I just think that, you know, they've been over-golfed, in my opinion. Fleetwood's got to be, I mean, how does this guy not withdraw? So the group that I've highlighted that I think could possibly win, sadly, I think Cabrera Bayo is one of them. I think Julian Suri, 26-year-old, he's got three top tens in the last four tournaments. I think he's got some life left in him. Aaron Rye, another young player from England, 22-year-old. Peterson, Angelo Kay, Quay, he's 38, long track record here. Tabuena, SSP, Scott Hend. Scott Hend won once 3 years ago. Scott Hend's been, you know, he's been up near the leader, top of the leaderboard recently. That's a long shot, but, you know, it's worth a look. And eBay Kruger. So if I'm going to pick 10 guys, and this is all based on recent performance, course performance, and complete gut feel. Cabrera Bayo, Suri, Rye, Peterson, Angelo Kay, Tabuena, Chiriza, Hend, Kruger. And I think the winner may be Lee Autong, or Autong Lee, depending how you say that. And even though Liao Tong has played a lot recently himself, I think that Liao Tong's going to win. So don't quote me on any of this. This is non-scientific. But I think if you look at this tournament, factor in the amount of golf of people played at a high level. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood, how does he even get on a plane over there? Five of the last 6 weeks. And he just won the race to Dubai. So there you go. Winner, Liao Tong. Suri and Rye. Cabrera Bayo in the mix. Deeper, maybe eBay Kruger. And that's that for golf. There's the golf part. There's the 2% golf I promised to include. So I'll close with this. This is my first Thanksgiving as a United States citizen. And even though we were talking about it earlier in more of a lighter spirit, I could not be more happy to be an American on Thanksgiving. An American citizen. You don't know. Even from 17 years, as I've said before, it took me to become a citizen of this country. I went through TN1 visas. I went through H1B visas. I went through my green cards. I went through, 5 years of waiting with that. And then we finally got citizenship, thankfully. The wait, especially if you have American citizen children, the wait, if you're not a citizen, is pretty daunting. So to finally become one and then have a Thanksgiving here and be able to cross into the United States without going through the sort of anxiety that you endure at customs as a non-citizen is just fantastic. To show an American passport or a Canadian passport makes life so much easier. So that's exciting for me. You know, 17 years in this country, starting from Detroit to Lexington, from nothing to this. Never would have expected that. So, happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. I'm certainly going to enjoy it. I said my tweet prior to the show the, hey, comma, be a man. Here's what I mean by that. I saw a comment or a post from another podcast that I found pretty repulsive. And part of the commentary, I guess it was perhaps part of their podcast, was, can you spit on your girlfriend to get her to break up with you? What? I mean, really, in this day and age, in this time, with all the shittiness that is being revealed about men, that social commentary leaders are still podcasting and minimalizing and trivializing issues regarding women, especially one that is highly impressionable with young men? Come on. Do better. And I've been very hard on the NFL and Al Michaels and NFL owners and thought leaders to hold them to a higher standard. Well, it's just a joke. It's not a joke anymore. It's assault. And it's terrifying to women. And it's been going on for a long time because it has been minimalized and it has been joked about and it has been covered up. And people have been afraid to come forward. And yet there are still content creators, influential ones, just making light of it and jokes about it. And so what do young men think? Ah, it legitimizes my behavior. It's still a joke. I can do whatever I want. You can't. And I know the circle that largely listens to this podcast is nothing like that, or shouldn't be. But men need to be better. I mean, every day there's someone new. Politically agnostic, geographically agnostic, race agnostic, ethnicity, doesn't matter. It's all coming out. All sides. Just today, Charlie Rose, Glenn Thrush, Al Franken. It's not going to end either. And so, you know, it's up to us in all commentary to not make light of the issue and to change and help change impressionable young men and change the commentary. Period. Because you should consider yourself lucky, men, that women even want to be around you. Go ahead and look yourself in the mirror after you shower. Really give yourself a hard look. Ever ask yourself, or ask your better half, why are you attracted to this revolting creature that I'm looking at in the mirror? Look at yourself. We're disgusting. So, don't ruin it. Women deserve better. And this generation, hopefully, will help change that. We hope. So, that's it for this week. That's it. I have no other picks. It's no golf. No golf until next year, but I'm still around. This has been episode 19. It's been a blast. So, enjoy your Thanksgiving and enjoy your consensual kissy face and pressy body. I'm out.